I would appreciate your prayers this morning. I don't want any of us, and for sure not me, to ever take for granted that the Lord's just obligated to meet with us or that we have got this under control. We need the Lord. We need Him to apply His Word to every one of our hearts and to make it real to us, to feed our souls and to challenge us in the way that He desires. I want to share with you a burden that's been part of a broader burden of my heart for quite some time. And that's around a subject that I believe something that is precious, it's valuable, it's indispensable to all of us as God's children in this our day, and that is our faith. I believe the enemy has it in his crosshairs. I believe he's trying to target and undermine the faith of the believers. I'd like for us to consider this morning a faith that triumphs. I want to begin in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle or this body do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but that we would be clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. He's saying here of this body that it is our tabernacle. It's our dwelling place in this life and for this time. And it says, I don't pray that I would be unclothed with that tabernacle. I'm not just yearning for life to end. I'm not sitting here pining away my life, wishing it would be over. But oh, what's waiting on the other side? It's not that when that moment comes, that we are just left stripped away and left with nothing. But it's that the Lord comes to give us something so much better and more eternal, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of his Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. This faith does something. What comes next is so real in my heart and in my mind by faith that it causes me to everything that I do to be informed with this. The way that I live my life, everything that I do to be accepted of Him. It says we walk by faith. We live by faith. There's really no option if we're going to live for the Lord. If we want to please the Lord, and if we want to make heaven our home, the only way we're going to do it is by faith. Faith is not something that comes natural. At least as we grow older and as we develop more cognitive abilities, and it becomes harder for us to believe the further away from childhood we get. It can be easy for a child to believe in Santa and an Easter bunny and all kinds of things they ought not to. And it can be easy for a child to believe in their parents and their... I can remember a time that I thought there's surely nothing that my dad can't do, and my mom seemed like she's just everything that anybody could want, and really she was, but as a young child, I didn't think about the things that a human just can't do. You know, the Lord wants and requires of us, so we have faith. This is a way of faith, and there's really no getting around it if we're going to go through it successfully. So I'd like for us to hit rewind for a bit. I want to go back to think about how this has been problematic for mankind throughout time that has endeavored to live for the Lord. It has been difficult to walk by faith and not by sight. Our mind and intellect and reasoning just gravitates towards, of course, what we can see and what we can handle and what I can understand and see right in front of me. Exodus, the 32nd chapter. Exodus 32 and 1, it says, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mountain, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up, make us gods which shall go before us. But as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him." Well, would you think that's understandable? I mean, you look at the space of time that they had been waiting. What was it? 10 years? 5 years? A year? No. It was measured in days and not in decades or in years. And yes, so quickly they said, "We don't know what's become of this man." The very representative of God. They couldn't see God for themselves. God even told Moses, who came perhaps closer than any man has, an earthly man, he said, "You can't look on my face and live." But Moses was called as a representative of God unto them. And they acknowledged, "This is the man that led us up out of Egypt, but we don't know what's become of him, so we need something to replace him." Aaron said, "Break off the golden earrings on the ears of your wives, sons, daughters, bring them to me." Well, they did all of that. And it says, he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool. After that, he had made it a molten calf. And they said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." Doesn't that sound foolish? When you think about it, that God came from their ears. And they watched, no doubt, this process. They said, "We want gods." And so here's the process. Take the earrings out of your ear and all the gold jewelry and you bring it here. And they watched that so-called God being fashioned and formed right before their eyes. And then they turned on it and said, "This golden calf up here is the one that led us out of the land of Egypt." How does a people reduce the living God down to a piece of metal like that? That they fashioned, that they formed. There is a yearning inside of people that I want to have something real. I want to have something tangible. I want to be able to see what I believe in. I want to be able to touch. I want to be able to look on him. It's hard to believe in something that you don't see. And the people had a desire. We want to be able to see our gods. And we want our God to be able to go up before us and to lead us. I don't want any golden calf going up before me and leading me. Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter. This comes in time, and I believe about 40 years later. But looking back and reflecting on this event, Deuteronomy 4 and begin in the, well, maybe the 12th verse. "The Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. You heard the voice of his words, but saw no similitude. Only ye heard a voice." You heard the voice. You didn't see God because you can't. "But you heard his voice, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that you might do them in the land, whither you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, For ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that's in the water beneath the earth. Lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Don't turn into the things that you can see. The beasts, the animals, the things that you can see. This is not really much has changed over the thousands of years, especially when I go to India and places like that. I see just in every village and sometimes every street corner and every house, you see their own God. And it, I believe the psalmist said, the gods that they make, they are like unto them. They fashion their gods after what they can see with their eyes. They limit their God to that which they can see and understand. But our God is so much greater. Our God cannot be contained in some figure, in some image, in something that we can touch and handle. And it said in the Psalms as well, the gods that you make that are like unto you, they have hands, but they handle not. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they can't hear anything. But that's what you want. That's what you want to follow after. And that's what you want to try to serve. Because you can see it with your eyes. So important it is to mankind that I want to be able to see what I'm believing in. And so it is that people live their lives exchanging that which is not seen for something so much cheaper that is seen, because I can see it. What good is a birthright and a blessing to all the generations afterwards if I'm so hungry right now, all I can think about is hunger? And so Esau sold that which was of forever blessing to his family and sold it for a moment. People live that way. They long to be able to have what I can see and what I can taste and what I can feel and the pleasures that I can get in this moment, and take that over that which is invisible and that which can't be seen, though it be eternal. Remember the time that Israel said unto Samuel, "Get up and make us a king. We want to have a king." And do you remember why they said they wanted a king? Like all the nations around us. And they said, a king that can go up before us, the nations. They wanted to be able to have something in the place of an invisible God. They wanted to be able to have a king that they could send up, like all the other nations. They have a king, or a God that they can point to and say, that is our king, that is our God, that is the head of our state and the substance of our belief right here. But the Israelites come up and they have no king. And this God that they talk about is one that they can't produce any evidence of for what we can see.
So they took a king unto themselves. You see the pattern throughout time of how people are insistent on what I can see right now, what I can wrap my mind around by that which I see and feel. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1 and the 15th verse, speaking here of Christ, and said that he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Does invisible mean non-existent? I want to remind you about what Jesus said in John the 3rd chapter. John chapter 3, Jesus speaking to Nicodemus here about the kingdom of heaven. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." This kingdom is of an entirely different nature than the kingdoms of the earth. Brother Rick mentioned this morning in Sunday school about how literally many people will take Scripture and apply it and invent to themselves doctrines and beliefs about what the gospel and the kingdom of God and the end times will be. That's not grounded in Scripture. And we can see, if we look at it and consider it, that the same theme that we've been talking about, the same tendency of mankind to want to replace that which I cannot see, that which is invisible, with something that I can see, is still happening today and still being taught across, I would venture to say, the majority of Christian pulpits today, where people are taking the kingdom of God and trying to make of it something that is like the kingdoms of this earth. That there'll be a seat of the kingdom, there's going to be a throne of the kingdom, and Jesus is going to come and reign in a literal way. But Jesus was saying about the kingdom that it's like this wind that blows. Can you see the wind? No. Does it mean there's no wind? No such thing as wind. Because I can't see it. I can't see your thoughts right now. So there's no such thing as thoughts. Well, we could go in a lot of directions. The fool says in his heart, what? There is no God. I can't see him. I can't calculate him. So there is no God. It's the fool that says that. And the atheist day is celebrated on April 1st. The fool says in his heart that there is no God. But just because you can't see it doesn't mean it isn't so. You can't see the wind, but you can sure see its effects. Its effects can be heard. Its effects can be seen and felt. And so the working of the Spirit of the Lord. People today want to be able to look for something tangible. I want to be able to feel it and to touch it and to be able to play it with my fingers in this worship to God. I don't want this, what seems like a mystical experience of something in my heart that's happening. I want to be able to see it. I want to be able the ambiance of the place to set it. But what this is like the wind that blows. The working of the Spirit of the Lord. What man can calculate the ways of the Lord? What man can try to put into a form or a box how the Spirit of the Lord is able to go and work and move? It's so much superior to the ways of this old dark world that wants to worship as their God. Yes, some image, some form. It's not only left to the dark recesses of pagan lands and other parts of the world.
It is even under the name and banner of Christianity right in our own nation and in our community. Not to try to disrespect or disparage people, but I sure mean every form of disrespect against false spirits, false religions, and the workings of Satan through darkness in every form. To replace, I've quoted it often, but it stuck out in my mind so real, the martyr who was going to his death during the days of the Inquisition. And they told him, all you have to do is just pray to this crucifix. Well, you could reason of that. That represents Christ. That represents our faith. And he looked at that and said, Jesus Christ is so real in my heart that I don't need a worthless or a senseless piece of wood to put me in remembrance of him. I've got something superior to that. I've got something more real than that. I don't need to worship an emblem. I don't need to worship. I don't need to reduce God to something that I need to be able to hold in my fingers. How could you possibly pray unless you have beads in your fingers to run between your fingers to say your prayers? Oh, thank God for the truth. Thank God that the Spirit brings liberty while the letter brings death. And Lord, help our understanding of spiritual things, that we be able to rightly divide the word of truth. When he said, no man can discern the ways of God, save the Spirit of God that works within us. He's able to help us to understand. We're not going to be able to rightly divide, rightly calculate. It doesn't matter how well we understand Greek and Hebrew and Latin. It doesn't matter how much of the scripture that we can recite. If the Spirit of the Lord is not reigning and dwelling within us, it's what he told Nicodemus, you'll never be able to see it. You'll never be able to see the kingdom of God except you be born again by something you cannot see that takes place in your heart. A resurrection, I confess, has taken place within my breast. I've been awakened from the dead and now I live with Christ instead. And you're going to tell me that's not real, there's nothing to it. I may not be able to produce something that you can see with your eyes, but you watch my life by the grace of God and see the effects of the wind. See the effects of the Spirit working. And you may see it too, the effects of the wind blowing and working in your life. He knows how to move in our hearts and in our lives in ways that we can never compute and calculate. And I think of the mysteries of the ways of God. And I believe you can see it throughout time and throughout the Word of God and His workings, that God works in such a way so many times that those who do not want to believe will not believe. Those that want to believe that, nah, that's not God. That's nothing divine. That's no miracle. That there's some explanation for that, that they'll sure enough be able to find a natural explanation. So where are we in 2026? Is mankind different now that we are just easily content with that which we do not see? No. The human heart naturally yearns for that which I can see. And Lord, help us to be able to have a faith that triumphs. To be able to have a faith that rises above. Because that's what the faith the Lord comes to give us is to do. Is to do it, to do something in our lives and to produce something for us. I want to think about Thomas for a little bit. 20th chapter of John. John 20 and the 24th verse, Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came.
The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter the testimony that you give. I can't accept it. I can't believe it until I see it for myself. But the seeing for himself was something that he said, these hands need to be able to touch. These eyes need to be able to see it. And so Jesus gave him that opportunity. After 8 days, again, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. Thomas, I do this for you. And blessed are you because you believe. You believe because you've seen. But how happy, how blessed are those people throughout time, including this our day, who having not seen yet believe. Even though we can't see it with our eyes, not only Jesus in the flesh, but so many things of our faith and of our walk with the Lord that is not tangible by the five senses that I have externally. There's something that I'm going to have to be able to have more than that. Am I insistent on serving this flesh? Because it is the flesh that can see and taste and hear and feel and all of that. It's the flesh. And so many people want to serve the flesh. What I can enjoy and feel. But the flesh is going to have to be crucified. We walk not by sight, but by faith. And that's where the victory is found. Hebrews, the 11th chapter, so much said of faith there. We won't spend time in Hebrews 11 today, but Hebrews 11 says that faith is the evidence of things not seen, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's so much that's not seen that is yet so real. Folks, I believe that heaven is a place so real. The paradise of God today, it is as real as this setting right here, right now. But there is a veil between us right now that we today see through a glass darkly. We see through a glass by faith. But one day we're going to see face to face. And in heaven there will be no faith needed. For our faith will be lost in sight. But until then, may we keep on believing. Until then, may our hearts be anchored in faith in God. In who He is and what He's able to do. In the reality of that which we cannot see, that we living by faith would not substitute that which is not seen, that which is of the Spirit, for that which is of the flesh. This can look like so many things in our lives. You know, I can put my confidence and my trust in my savings account, my retirement account. Do you remember what the scripture says? Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches. That's all going to pass away. You can see it. You can hold it. It's tangible. And it's worthless when it comes to eternal things. Don't put your trust in that. We can put our trust in medical science and technologies.
And we can cheapen what God has for us through His promises and through His Word because I want something that I can see and touch and be able to control myself in the timeline and the results and all by what I call the illusion of control we've talked about. 1 John, the 5th chapter, before we close. 1 John 5. And I want to get here. The 4th verse. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, man, that's good, but that's the wrong chapter. 5 and 4. Whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Is faith important? How important is it to you? It's your victory. How much victory do you want to have? I think about the scripture. It says, Romans 12 and 3, even as God has given to every man the measure of faith. What is my measure of faith? What is yours? You know, it's the Lord's plan for every one of us. He knows right where we're at. And the Lord knows how to lead us from where I am to higher ground heights and deeper depths with the Lord. But that's the Lord's desire, is to lead us. Building up yourselves in your most holy faith is to be what the Lord does for us, what we allow the Lord to do for us. So how much victory do you want? This is your victory, your faith. If I say, Lord, I want greater victory. I want greater power in my life. I want more victories in my life. This is your victory, even your faith. Remember the story in 2 Kings of the king where the prophet told him, you want victory over this nation? You pick up your arrows and your bow. And I want you to shoot out of the wind because this is your victory. And he picked up the arrows and he shot 3 times. Put his bow down again. And the man of God was wroth with him. He said, because you only smote the ground 3 times and then you quit, there's a limit to how much victory you're going to have. Considering that faith is our victory by which we overcome the world, Lord, help us to have a desire within our hearts. Oh, blessed Lord, my faith increase. Lord, would you build my faith? Would you increase my faith from what it is now? Folks, if we're saved today, we have a measure of faith because we can't come to God without it. It requires a measure of faith to even be saved. But from there, the Lord wants our path to be as a shining light that shines brighter and brighter, and it shines through the eyes of faith that I can see it's more real to me every day, or so it should be. Who God is, His character, His nature is. It's just the longer I serve Him, the sweeter He grows, the song says. And that's what the Lord wants our experience to be, that our faith would be built from day to day, from experience to experience, from trial to trial, that we see God more and more. Then shall you know Him. He said, if you follow on to know the Lord. Lord, help us to follow on. Lord, I want to know you more. I want to know you in a greater way. And it's not going to be by the computations of our mind. It's going to be by the Spirit, by that which is not seen, through eyes of faith, that I can see the Lord more clearly now than I did yesterday, than I did last year. This faith that brings victory in our lives. You know how it works? It works by love. Faith which worketh by love. One of the consequences, if my love begins to wax cold,
is that my faith begins to falter. When my love begins to diminish, so diminishes my faith in God. And the more distant he begins to feel. It's not just about feelings. It's about even when feelings aren't there, I know God is. Even when the results don't come as I expected, when the answers to prayer aren't realized when and how I thought they ought to be realized, Lord, I know you are. It doesn't change who you are. It doesn't change what you're trying to do in my life, your heart and your thoughts towards me. It is of utmost importance that we have a strong faith in God. And folks, we're going to need it even more tomorrow than we did yesterday. Because this world is becoming more and more unbelieving and darker and more skeptical. And when that happens, when skeptics and scoffers and scorners abound, so abounds their reasons, their explanations, their justifications, that'll seem so plausible to the human mind that replaces faith in God. Lord, help each one of us. You pray for me. Amen.